Turn with me in your pew Bible this morning to the book of Genesis, chapter 1. And this is the second part of day 6, and it's called the Dominion Mandate. And so we're going to learn today about creation. This is the last day, day 6 of creation, as we move forward into Genesis 2 next week. And then also, I'm going to read a little bit out of Psalm chapter 8 this morning, too. So we know that Adam and Eve have been created, and he gives this command to them beginning at verse 28 through 31 in Genesis chapter 1. God blessed them and said to them, "Be fruitful and multiply or increase in number. Fill the earth and subdue it. Rule over the fish in the sea and the birds in the sky and over every living creature that moves on the ground." Then God said, "I give you every seed-bearing plant on the face of the whole earth and every tree that has fruit with seed in it. They will be yours for food. And to all the beasts of the earth and all the birds in the sky and all the creatures that move along the ground, everything that has the breath of life in it, I give every green plant for food." And it was so. God saw all that he had made, and it was very good. And there was evening and there was morning, the sixth day. And turn with me to Psalm chapter 8, about page 845. And I'm going to begin at verse 5. And I'm going to read this, that first verse, and I'm going to stop there just for a moment, because I want you to get context on this as well this morning. So it says, "You've made them a little lower than the angels." Now, the "you" is God, and "them" is you and I, human beings. We are not angels. God has created us to do is we have spiritual bodies and fleshly, earthly bodies today, but that's talking about you and I. "So you have made them a little lower than the angels and crowned them with glory and honor. You made them rulers over the works of your hands. You put everything under their feet, all flocks and herds and the animals of the wild, the birds in the sky and the fish in the sea, all that swim the paths of the seas. Lord, our Lord, how majestic is your name in all the earth." Let's pray this morning. Dear Heavenly Father, as you read your word this morning, may you bring that word to life through your Spirit. Lord, I pray too that for those that have gathered here that are watching us online or in the pew today, Lord, may you bless them. May you open their hearts and minds and souls to receive your teaching. Lord, I pray too that these words are yours and not mine. May you fill me with that same Holy Spirit. In Jesus, I pray these things. Amen. I'm going to show you a picture this morning, and it might make you a little jealous. My PowerPoint does not. There we go. That's the resort Dory and I were at a week or so ago, and I'm going to tell you it was about 83 degrees during the day and about 77 degrees at night, and it was beautiful there, and we had a good week, and we went with Jason and Ruth Wiersma, just us two couples, and we spent 5 days at this resort. How many of you have been to an all-inclusive resort ever, where everything's provided? Yeah. So by day 5, you are sick of eating. I'm just going to tell you that, right? Because you can eat everything you want. There's full buffets there, and there's different types of restaurants there. And we tried one different every night. But we had a good week. And then it was time to go home. And, you know, and you just don't want to go home. But we were sitting in the lobby, and we were waiting for our shuttle bus to come get us to take us to the airport. And there was a gentleman in there, and there's a beautiful big lobby, and there's all kinds of flowers and plants in there. And he had a bucket of water and a washcloth, and he was wiping down every leaf of the plants. And I'm going to tell you, this is 10 o'clock in the morning. I'm assuming he probably started around 7, 8 o'clock, and I bet he's probably still there yet 5 o'clock that night. Cleaning the plants. But then it made me realize, as we get into this book of Genesis, about how God says that we are to care for his creation, because it's all been given to us. And so what does that look like as I read this set of verses to you this morning out of Genesis 28 through 31, that you've been given dominion over everything that God has created? Isn't that quite something? You sit back and you think about that in our lives here this morning. And so in Genesis 1 verse 28, God says, "Subdue it and have dominion over it." And so let's start with that verse this morning. It's on the screen there. And let me just get into this morning. God blessed them and said to them, be fruitful and increase in number. Fill the earth, subdue it. Rule over the fish in the sea and the birds in the sky and over every living creature that moves on the ground. Now, there are many scholars, biblical scholars, that believe that this is God that's giving you and I the mandate over creation. To rule over. To care for. In the world that we live in today. So what does that mean? What does that look like from a biblical perspective about how we should live our lives? And so I might challenge you just a little bit this morning. And I'm assuming that I'm going to challenge you on maybe both sides of this issue today. But this is what God says. So go back to me to the book of Genesis, Adam and Eve are in the garden. Man was to take care of the animals and to keep the garden that God placed him in. Man was instructed to work. How many of you enjoy your work? Right? How many of you, most of us do, right? We enjoy working. God put that within us. Now, how many of you enjoy every day getting up and going to work and it just goes great every day? How many of you have that kind of a life? I thought that's how it'd go. All right? There are some times in life when we go to work that we're not fulfilled. It's maybe something that you just don't care to do that day. You know, whatever it might be, like sit and wash the leaves of the plants in the lobby all day. I'm sure that was not his favorite thing to do that day, but that was his job. That was before him. But God said this to Adam and Eve. He put them in the garden. He said, now take care of it. Eat from it. Maintain it. That's what they did. And of course, we're not to the fall yet, but we'll get to that here in the next couple of weeks in Genesis chapter 3. But I do believe that the work that God gave Adam and Eve looks very different than the work that you and I do today. I think that the work that God gave Adam and Eve, it was desirable, it was pleasurable, and it was fulfilling. And it probably didn't even seem like work. So how is it different from you in your life today after the fall and the sin? What does Monday morning look like for you when you got to go to work for the week, right? Depends what's going on. Especially when it's the middle of December and it's 20 below zero and the roads are a little icy. You're just like, oh, just want to pull the covers over your head and stay home for the day, right? Yeah. How that has changed. But I think that's how God intended it with Adam and Eve. And I do believe that someday we'll be back to that way on the new heaven and the new earth. And here's another one that I want to throw out to you this morning. You know, the world that you and I live in today, it's changing and things. You look at the culture that we're in today, especially the work ethic and the work culture. And you don't have to go very far, and you will find businesses, restaurants that are influenced by a lack of employers. Anybody had that situation that's going on in your world today? Right? It's hard to find help. If you don't have a job and you want a job, you can find a job out anywhere you want to go today. Right? Would you agree with me with that? Most definitely. Here's what God says in the Bible. 2 Thessalonians 3, verse 10. The one who is unwilling to work shall not eat. How many of you love to eat? I do, right? And let me just make a disclaimer to this just a little bit here this morning, though, that some people are not able to work because of their health condition or maybe a disability they have, and they're excused from that. All right? But if God has given the ability to work and you're healthy and you're capable, God says, I want you to work. And work can look like a broad range of things from being a house mother to being a banker or a school teacher or whatever it might be. God calls us to work, to maintain our lives, our homes, to provide for our families. And I think this is a straightforward verse that more people in our world need to hear today. I heard a statistic this past week. Listening on the radio, that there are 7 million capable men that could be in the workforce that aren't in the United States. You ever wonder why? Have they read that verse? Yeah, we got some things backwards in our society today. But God gave us the ability to work, and he expects us to. And let me just go a little further with you this morning. Genesis 1 also places man in charge of the environment. Now, don't hear me say, oh, that means that we control the weather. No, not, I'm not talking about that. So hold on to kind of how I explained this morning. You know, if we look at Genesis 1:28, it says, have dominion over the fish and the birds and every living creature. That also means that God has given us dominion over all the resources of earth. Think about the resources. I got this diagram up there this morning on the screen. You know, let me just rattle a few of them off to you. God said this: you have dominion over everything in the world that we live in. Look at the resources that we have today: coal, petroleum, natural gas, wood products, oil, animals, soil, sunshine, all those types of things God has given us for life. It's part of His created world. It doesn't mean we abuse them, but they're given for our use to sustain human life. We are to be good stewards of them, and we are to honor God with them. The earth and all that is in it is created for man to use. Now, what kind of a story are you hearing today? If you watch the news, listen to the news, you might be hearing something very different, huh? Yeah, I see some of you smirking here this morning. Because there are environmentalists today that are claiming that humans are a plague to earth, that we are the problem with climate change and all those types of things. And here I am, going to go right face to face with them, with the Bible, and tell them that they're wrong. How many of you were here a couple weeks ago when I talked about when God created Adam and Eve? It was the what of creation? Church? What? The pinnacle. Right? You and I are the pinnacle of creation. God's holiness, God's glory created in you and I. That's who we are. But yet we got people running around to say that you are the problem with the world that we live in today. Right? I don't buy that. That's not what God is teaching us. I think that theory is unbiblical and it's wrong. Now, that doesn't mean that we abuse creation or that we don't be wise to better ways of life. No, don't go down that path either. But I do believe that God has given us resources to use. Humanity is not a plague or a detriment to this earth. Doesn't mean that we're perfect. But God created people to be a blessing to His creation, to care for it, to look over it, to maintain it, for survival, right? To subdue it in our families. So here's what I don't want you to do. Is don't panic over doomsday claims. How many of you have heard about the climate clock? Anybody heard about the climate clock? Right? Let me tell you what the climate clock says. And I figured this out for Sunday morning. The climate clock says that we have 9 years, 2 months, and 20 days, and some hours and minutes before the earth falls apart and will not support life anymore due to climate change. Is that what the Bible teaches you and I? No. That's an outright lie. See, I believe that radical environmentalists desire for you to live in fear as they move their agenda forward. Who determines when this world ends? God. And how does He do that? Through judgment and fire, right? And if you're a believer in Jesus Christ, He comes back to earth and He gathers His church and He takes them to heaven with Him, right? Judgment day. And then He says that I'll recreate a new heaven and a new earth, and you'll cleanse this old earth by fire, and it's on His agenda, and nobody else knows. Not even the Son, who's seated at the right hand, knows when that day will come. And so if we're believers in Christ, the foundation, don't fear what you hear. Know the Word of God. Know where you stand and how things will go. Let me talk about our earth just a little bit. I have a verse on here in the red box in the middle of the screen. It's Romans 8, verse 22. And here's what it says. We know that the whole creation has been groaning as in the pains of childbirth right up to the present time. And what that essentially means is that our present condition of creation is not the final one. Because of a fallen world, it is degrading. It is getting worse. It's slowly degenerating. And we are to expect that as Christians in the world that we live in today. And our earth is changing, and it has its destiny planned by God. Nobody else. For God knows how this will end. So if we're believers in Jesus Christ, and we believe in creation, and God tells us that we fell into sin and that the earth is groaning and sin also is degrading the earth and things are changing over time, that should change how we look at things. And as we move closer to judgment day, expect things to be different in the world, is what he says. I believe that's what people are seeing today. But here's the problem. They refuse to put God in the midst of that. And it's right there. That's the problem with our world today. Is they exclude God from all these things. Genesis 1 verse 28 also says this. Be fruitful and multiply. Right? How many of you enjoy your family? Just a couple of you. Yeah. Here's what it did not say. Get this. It never said this. God never said, be fruitful and overpopulate. There's a difference. Do you see that? And what that means is what God says is that whoever's born upon this earth, there will be enough resources to provide for that person. We have, over 7 billion people today in the world, and we're growing. And I believe that there's enough resources in our world to take care of everybody that's born upon this earth. Now, here's the problem. We live in a fallen world, don't we? And some countries do better than other countries. Some areas do better than other areas. And it's because of a sinful, fallen world that we have those types of issues. And then we get this thing called hoarding, correct? Where wealth kind of builds in certain areas of the world. And America maybe falls into that and does, I believe, that we do well. We've been blessed by God. And you can find other countries, but we still deal with other issues. But here's the bottom line I want you to think about this morning as you go home. That God says there's enough resources for everyone. What are you and I doing as we live life for those that maybe don't have a place to stay, our food, or water, or whatever it might be? What is your role in that? Right? What does God call you to do in the midst of those types of things as you live life? I'll tell you a story this morning. When I was in seminary, with a couple that was in ministry, and they came in and they gave some kind of a talk for one of our classes. I don't remember which one it was. This is, and I'm not calling you to live like this, but I want you to listen how they lived and see if you'd even want to go there. I don't know if I could, but I should. So they worked, both of them worked in ministry, and they got paid every couple weeks, whatever it was, and they'd sit down, they'd pay their bills, get everything paid for, you know, car payment, insurance, groceries, all those types of things. They put a little money away into their retirement accounts. They were wise with their money. And then they'd look what they had left. They'd write it out to the church. And they'd take their bank account to zero or close to it every week. And that's how they live life. Now, there's two ways to look at that. When you don't have any money, who are you going to rely upon to get through your week? God. Right? Do you have enough to live on? Yeah, they said, our groceries are there in the fridge. You know, we don't get to eat steak every night, but once in a while we got to eat a hot dog. But we're okay with that, right? And I came back out of that, oh man, I got a long ways to go, right? And they gave it all away. Week to week is how they lived their life. I'm not calling you to do that. What I am calling you to do is, what is God calling you to do in your life as it pertains to the world we live in today? Because the resources are there. And don't jump on the bandwagon that, oh, Rob, that's socialism. No, that's Christianity. That's what it is. And there's a difference. God calls you to work. God calls you to be a profitable business. God calls you to make money. God calls you to many different things, but he asks you to take those resources, build the kingdom. Take care of my people. Take what you need to live. And maybe move on with what you have to others to bless them in their lives. Now, remember I said I might step on your feet a little bit this morning? Right? The environment, and where am I at in the midst of that, and what do I have to do for God's creation, and how do I care for God's people? All those things you have to take home and balance that. And maybe you're a little out of whack right now, and I'm assuming that most of us probably are. And so what do we need to do to just take another step to move closer into God's kingdom and his care of his creation and his people? Let me finish with this morning. Verse 31. How many of you have looked at these two verses side by side? So this is Genesis 1, verse 31, and Revelation 21, verse 4, I believe. Let me look at that. Yeah, 21, verse 4. All right? So we're getting ready to move out into Genesis chapter 2, but I want you to look at the end of verse 31. Now, sin hasn't entered yet, right? Here's what it says. God saw all that he had made, and it was very good. And there was evening, and there was morning, the sixth day. His creation was perfect at this point. How many believe that there's still a lot of good in the world that we live in today? I believe there's good all over yet today. You just choose not to see it every day. But God's at work in the world that you and I live in, and I believe there's a lot of good in this world yet today. There are good people wherever you go if you start visiting and talking with people. There are godly people wherever you go, Christians throughout the world today. God's creation is still blessing you and I, right? We're blessed deeply, greatly in our lives. Even though we live in a sinful world, we're still cared for. We still have usually food on our table. Money might be tight once in a while, but yet still God provides. One day Jesus says, I'll return. And he says, I'll restore this earth. Now listen to this verse out of Revelation 21, verse 4. So these are like bookmarks. You got the beginning and the end, and we live in the midst of the middle. And I want to give you hope this morning as you leave here. This is what he says. He'll wipe away every tear from their eyes. There will be no more death, or mourning, or crying, or pain. For the old order of things has passed away. And I am making everything new. Just like Genesis 1. That's what you and I look forward to. That's the hope that you and I have today in the midst of the world that we live in. How many of you get excited about that, right? You maybe don't want to go to heaven today, but you want to go someday when God calls you home. I hope that you live that way and that you're blessed. And all God's people said, let's pray. Dear Heavenly Father, Lord, you've given us this mandate. Lord, and a mandate's not an option. Lord, it says, hey, you need to do this. And so may we take our job, our work, the things you placed us upon this earth that we're involved in, may we take those seriously. Lord, those are things you call us to do wherever you have us in this world. And Lord, I pray that we work for you. Lord, to your glory. We thank you that you created us. We thank you for the world that we live in, the resources that you've given us. Lord, may we use them wisely. May we care for your creation. May there be balance in the world that we live in and how we should live in the way that you teach us in Scripture. Lord, we're not perfect. We know that we fall short and we're sinners. And it's Jesus Christ who forgives us. But help us to do our part to the best of our abilities. We thank you for the blessing of giving us life. that we are fruitful and that we multiply, and we pray for our families today and how you bless us in the midst of those things. In Jesus I pray, amen.